I'll be, God willing, along here with you for the next four Sundays, both morning and evening, to speak to you on the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. Now, I've been having a tremendous time as I've gone over these studies again prior to coming along here and sharing with you. I have received a real blessing myself, and I've spent much time sitting down at the kitchen table and going over the things that I should bring to your notice. And I believe that you are in for a blessing as well, because God has said so, particularly in this book. And we'll come to that very shortly. Now, what I'll be doing during these meetings, I'll be getting some young man in the meeting to take the readings for us, just to give the young ones an opportunity to come and speak and to read from the Word before a congregation, to develop the talents of our young people. And also, I'll be speaking quite a lot, and I don't want you to get sick of my voice. Now, I suppose I should say at the outset, what is the aim of these meetings? It's all right to come along and open the scriptures and read from them and speak from them, but I believe that the Lord would have us have a desire, an aim in these meetings that we might develop in a particular way. And I'm taking the theme from the churches which have been spoken to in this book of Revelation, and taking the concluding verse which is given to each one of these churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And that applies to each one of us. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And so the things that we hear, we are to develop them and take notice of them and apply these things in our Christian living. To those who know not the Lord as Saviour, there will be a challenge that you too might hear what the Lord is saying. And as we will look at in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord is standing at the door of your life and he's bidding to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open that door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, naturally, this is written to the Christian church, but it also has the application to those who know not the Lord, that if you'll open your heart's door, the door of your life, and let him in, then he will stay with you. There's no greater blessing, no greater privilege than to have the Lord of glory dwelling within your heart, within your life, and taking control of your life. To those who know the Saviour, the same applies. And there will be some teaching here with regard to things that we practice within our Christian life, that day by day you will be walking close to the Lord. Let us open our Bibles then to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Now, generally I read from the New King James, but I've also brought along the Authorised Version here, which I will read, because I believe that most of you have the Authorised Version here. And so I'll read from it. We're using mainly the New King James Version. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll take the first 11 verses. Now, we probably won't get through all these this morning, because this will be an introduction to what is going to come in the following weeks. the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that's to John, to show unto his servants, that's you and me, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is, take notice of this, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. I love that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. I think of that as the FW. We hear so much today of the JWs, which are really DWs, deceived witnesses. But the Lord Jesus is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. And I'm sure we can all say Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And may God bless this portion to our hearts this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I sincerely believe it. The Bible teaches it. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. However, if we were to judge the treatment that some believers give to the Word of God today and to some portions of the Scripture, and in particular to the book of Revelation that we've just read from, we would say that perhaps it seems to be unprofitable and of little benefit. I remember when I was teaching in Maryborough, we had religious instruction classes in those days, and we had a chap who came along from the Uniting Church, a chap by the name of Barnes. And so that the boys would behave, in those days it was a boys' high school, and across the road there was a girls' high school. And so the boys would behave, the teacher would sit in class while the chap from the church would come along and speak. And there was this chap, Barnes, was in this class that I was supervising. And he made this statement to the students, to young men, to the men and women of today, because this was a few years ago now, these people who are in the class would be men today. The Old Testament is not applicable for us today. Now, a man who claimed to be the leader of the Uniting Church in Maribara made that statement. It hurt me, because I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Lord Jesus verified it. Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. And time again, he quoted from the Scriptures. Just think of the time when he was being tempted, Matthew 4, in the wilderness. What did he do? He quoted the Scriptures. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you know where he quoted the Scripture from? It wasn't the New Testament, because it wasn't written then. But each time he was tempted, he went to the book of Deuteronomy. How many of us could quote from the book of Deuteronomy today? I remember when I was a young man, like some of these young men sitting here, I sort of stayed clear of these books. They were difficult to follow, and they didn't seem to have a lot of interest, and this fellow Barnes must have thought the same. But the Lord Jesus, he went back into the Scriptures and he quoted them. And with the Scriptures he confounded the evil one. We don't hear much being spoken about the book of Revelation today. As a matter of fact, that in my home assembly, it would be a long, long time since, before I spoke there, be a long, long time since we had the book of Revelation opened. And yet it's a very precious book. It is God's picture book of his beloved Son. And as we look through the book of Revelation, you will see the Lord Jesus uplifted and glorified. There are three personalities brought to us in this reading that we have had this morning as we commence these studies. One, Jehovah, revealed as the eternal sovereign. Two, the Lord Jesus, the exalted Saviour. And thirdly, John, the Apostle John, the entrusted servant. No chapter and verse was in the original writing, but someone down through the ages decided that they would divide the book into chapters and into verses for convenience sake. And sometimes as we look, we might see that we perhaps would have the break in a different place. And also the name. You will find in a lot of the Bibles that the heading of this book, the Revelation of St. John the Divine. Now, someone put that title there. And I don't think that the title that has been put there should have been put there. Because as we look into this book and as we look at the title that is given at the beginning, you'll see in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. The revelation of Jesus Christ. My Bible has that title at the top. But in a lot of Bibles, the earlier Bibles, it's the revelation of St. John the Divine. And I'm also sure that John would not call himself St. John. Because in verse 4, he puts down John to the seven churches. He did not put a title on himself. The Bible teaches that we are saints in Christ. But we don't take that title. I don't call myself Pastor Ron or Pastor Cartmill or Reverend Ron or Reverend Cartmill. John called himself John to the seven churches which are in Asia. To be a pastor, it's a gift. And we read in the Scriptures of these gifts which have been given to the church. But it doesn't mean that we take upon ourselves the title. Let us be very clear about that. I am Ron Cartmill, saved by the sovereign grace of God. And someone has put the title here, Saint John the Divine. How we should be very careful as we look and as we address ourselves and address other people. So there's something that, by way of introduction, that we look and we see that the title of it is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation has been given by the Spirit of God. God has given it through His Spirit to His servant, the entrusted servant, John. What about Paul? What was his attitude? Paul wrote 14 books. And 13 of them start off with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He didn't take upon himself a title either. We're going to look at the first three books, and we'll see there that God is revealing His Son as Lord in the midst of the churches. The glory of the Lord in the church. And that is what we want to see in our day and generation in which we live. The glory of the Lord in our church. What about the remainder of the book? Chapters 4 and 5, the scene is in heaven. And the Lamb is on the throne. The Lord glorified. In the church we have the Lord in the midst of the church. The glory of the Lord. The Lord glorified. In chapters 6 to 18, the Lord is revealed as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lion over the nations, ruling over the nations of the world. In chapter 19, the Lord is revealed as the Lover at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the remaining last couple of chapters, the Lord is the Light. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb, the one who was crucified, is the light forever and forever. Let us then have a look at these verses as we have read them together this morning. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show His servants the things which must shortly take place. Verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and the things that he saw. Here is the blessing. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. And in addition to that, and keep them. Might I encourage you to read the words of this prophecy? Quite often we hear of people being depressed. It's not a very nice state of affairs. Might I suggest, particularly to our lady folks at home, sometimes the children might get you down, or postnatal depression and this sort of thing, very serious things, and you're just not feeling up to it. Might I suggest that you sit down and read a portion of Revelation, particularly in the early parts, say chapter 1. Read half the chapter. Think about it. Next day, if you're feeling out of sorts again, read it again. Read it again. And when you get to know it, when you have had excitement and joy in reading it, read the second part of the chapter. Because there are very precious things in there that will uplift you. When we read there that the Lord Jesus says that He is the Alpha and Omega, that is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet, He is everything in between. And we read there wonderful things concerning the Lord, and it will thrill your heart, and I feel sure that it will lift you out of your depression. And cheer you up. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. A blessing awaits everyone who reads. Now, in verse 4, that is just an introduction to the book, and then verse 4 we see where the message comes to John. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Here is John giving a salutation. Grace to you and peace from him who is, that's the present, who was in the past, who is to come in the future. God is eternal. Now, this is something foreign to each one of us. We're so used to things having a beginning and an ending. A nice rose flower bud will come up. It has a beginning. And then it opens up. It's a present. And then a few days' time, the petals fall to the ground and it's finished. It has a beginning and an ending. You buy a motor car. You've bought it. That's the beginning. You have it. It rusts out and goes on the junk heap. It's finished. Everything in our way of living has a beginning and has an ending. This is not so with God. And you can't, I can't say, although there's really no other way of expressing it, that he was from the beginning. Now, the beginning is not really correct. He existed. And he goes on and on and on. Like in a mathematical term, repeating. And it's something that is foreign to us. I give unto my sheep eternal life. And beloved, you have a portion of this ongoing existence when you give your heart and your life to the Lord. Should there be someone here this morning who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour? He is offering freely eternal life. Life without end. I can't explain it, but it's in God's word. Because a portion of him comes into our life. He exists for all time. And I gain a portion of that in my life. Isn't it wonderful? My earthly body will decay. But that new life, that real me, will go on and will be with him throughout the ages of eternity. Who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. This book, and in particular this chapter, is one that we all should remember. And we should ever have it at hand. Because I believe that this portion of scripture is the answer to the people who come around and knock at our door. And say that the Lord Jesus did not pre-exist. The Lord Jesus is God with us. And he has the character of God. He dwelt with the Father from bygone ages. And he goes on into eternity. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. One translation puts it, and from the sevenfold aspects of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of faith, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of truth, and the spirit of might. The sevenfold aspects of the Spirit of God. And here we see that who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. We are told, Paul exhorts us, to be filled with the Spirit. And beloved, as we are continually being filled with the Spirit, we have these aspects of the Holy Spirit indwelling our life. And so we should be able to put into practice the various aspects of God's Holy Spirit, that we should be able to practice these sevenfold aspects. I'll read through them again. The Spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. The Spirit of wisdom, Ephesians 1:17. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of truth. These things should be part of and should characterize our life. And the spirit of might. Don't be afraid to stand up for those things which are right, those things which belong to God. Put them into practice in our daily life, day by day. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He is ever faithful. And while I was sitting at the kitchen table, I just started humming that tune. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. A lovely hymn, a beautiful hymn. And he has ever been faithful. He was faithful in going to the cross of Calvary. And he was faithful to God in giving of himself. And he is faithful to us day by day. From the faithful witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. I was talking to a chap once, and he had a problem with this business of the Lord Jesus being the firstborn from the dead. He was talking about, what about Lazarus? What about Jairus' daughter? And so on. They passed away. The Lord brought them to life, but they passed away. The Lord Jesus, he tasted of death. He died. He died. Let us get a grip of it. But some modernists say that he was just put out. He didn't die. He was just unconscious, and then he just came back to life. That's wrong. He died. And he came back to life, and he lives forevermore. Lazarus, he died again. Jairus' daughter, she died again. The Lord Jesus, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests. Now, can you see here how the Spirit breaks out into song as the Spirit dwells on the work of the Lord Jesus? Beloved, let us sing the song to ever let us be thankful unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins and made us kings and priests to his God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. And don't let us be afraid to say amen. What's this amen mean? I looked up a book at home, sort of a Bible encyclopedia book that I have there, to see what amen meant. And it has many different aspects. As we come through, we'll find that a title of the Lord Jesus is the Amen. And that means the truthful one, the truth. But here, at the end of a prayer, or sometimes someone might say something in the meeting and some brother will say, Amen. That's a solemn acclamation of agreement with what has been said. And here we see the expression being brought in agreement to what has been said. Amen. Don't let us be afraid to say amen, agreeing with what has been said, what the Lord has given to us. Someone might say, and the Saviour lives forevermore. And we can say, amen. We agree, we solemnly agree with what has been said. So here we have the thought there, ruler over the kings of the earth. It appeared at the time of this writing that Rome had dominion over the area of where the churches were situated. We'll come more to that later on. But let us make no mistake about it. It was all according to the purposes of God. I remember Mr. Putnell when I was up in Maryborough, living up there. And Mr. Putnell always used this expression, God is still in control. He always used that expression. If something went wrong, God is still in control. And as we see things happening around about us on the political scene, God is still in control, and things are being fulfilled according to His purposes. Ruler over the kings of the earth. He still rules over the kings of the earth. And behind history, the believer recognizes that the Lord Jesus, who chose the way of obedience and humiliation, has in fact been exalted to God's right hand, where He sits as Lord, ruling over the rulers of the earth. Now, our time is gone, and I'm going to leave it at that, because I'm going to continue tonight. I see I'm going to be flat out getting through chapter 1 by the end of the meeting this evening. Maybe we'll go on till 10:30 or something like that, but not really. Do come along. May I encourage everyone to come along and join with us in these meetings as we look into the book of Revelation and have a look at some of the precious things. Next week, we'll be making a start on the churches. We'll start at the church of Ephesus. And seeing the time is so short in the morning, in the evening next week, I'll have some overhead transparencies showing the location of these churches, where they're situated. Actually, they're not in existence today. There's a very small group in Ephesus, but in general, the churches have closed up. The lampstand has been removed. It's in the middle of a Muslim-dominated area in Asia Minor. It's interesting to see where the towns are and how they're situated. The churches, they go in a clockwise direction like a circle. And why did they pick these seven churches when there are other churches nearby? The church of Colossae wasn't far away. Iconium, Antioch, Lystra. There's all these churches around that area, yet the seven that are mentioned in chapters 2 and 3 were the ones that were picked. Anyway, more about that as we get on into these meetings.